The Lord wanted to remind us that sometimes it in our lives, our finances look like this. And some people can look at that and say, oh, there's nothing there. It's just dry, dead ground. But it's a seed, it's a field that's been seeded. And so looks can be deceiving. When you're looking at your finances, you can't look with your natural eye. You've got to look with your supernatural eye. And you have to know that when you plant a seed, God will be faithful. And even though it may look like this, you can know there is life. There is life in your finances. Amen? And it's just a matter of time before the harvest comes. So grab your tithes and offerings today. Father, we thank you so much for touching our tithes and offerings today. And wow, what an incredible year for our missions. It's just been supernatural what you've done, Father. And we just thank you for all the seeds that we have planted that we may feel look like they're in this stage where there's nothing that we can see. But God, we know that you are the God of the unseen. And as your word says in Hebrews 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we put our faith and our hope and our trust in you because we know that there is a harvest on its way. We just pray, Father, you would touch every seed that is sown today. Bless each giver. Multiply back to them 100-fold. And Father, we just praise you and we thank you. Every need is met. Every need is met and beyond so that we can be blessed to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. As they're getting the tithes and offerings, I wanted to share with you, we got a really beautiful thank you card from the Campbells for their time here. And then for those of you who weren't here last week, we were able to give $2,000 above what we've already given them this year. A $2,000 offering came in last week, the Sunday they were here. Hallelujah. They both just looked at us and went, what? And we're like, yeah. And they're like, you have the most incredible people ever. So keep giving because that encourages them and strengthens them. Amen.
Praise the Lord. What a powerful morning. Let's stretch your hands out toward the giving baskets and let's make a confession of faith over this. Just say, I believe, I receive the blessing of God on every seed I sow. A hundredfold increase is coming back to me. Raises, bonuses, favor of God, inheritances, harvesting angels, go. And bring in my harvest in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's use the R word. Somebody say, I am rich. I am blessed to be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. Praise the Lord. Again to our the Edge Youth Worship Team. Amen. What an awesome morning of worship, and God is so good. Well, let's pray over this word today and jump right into it with both feet. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Holy Spirit is saying to us today. Somebody say, today. I receive your word, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are continuing on our series entitled Blood That Speaks. Somebody say, Blood That Speaks. Amen. And our foundation text is in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 through 24. And if you have a notes sheet, last week's notes actually has that on it. Today's does not, because today is actually a continuation of last week. So praise God. But I will read it to you. If you do have last week's, wonderful. Otherwise, you can turn in your Bible to Hebrews 12, 22 through 24, or flip it onto your phone, however you do it. Amen. But it says this, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God. Did you know that your God is alive today? We don't have to wait till Easter morning to tell you this. Somebody say, he's alive.
Well, what's the difference between your God and my God?
Well, here's a big one. My God is alive. Amen. Praise the Lord, right? The heavenly Jerusalem to an innumerable company of angels. Praise God. We just got to spend time sometimes meditating on things that we read in the Bible. Can you imagine an innumerable, that's quite a word to say, an innumerable company of angels. Praise the Lord. To the general assembly, praise God, and the church, and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven. Somebody say, that's me. Are you registered in heaven today? Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? If you're born again, say yes. Amen. You know, somebody's going to get to heaven and say, is my name in the book? Right? Well, somebody, who knows how you get your name in the book? Is it because you were so good? Is it because you didn't do so bad? Is it because you're a European American? No. Is it because you fit in the financial stratus? No. Somebody say, it's because of my faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Somebody say, that's it. I'm in. I'm in the family. Praise the Lord, right? So there it goes, right? Registered in heaven. Somebody say, I'm registered in heaven. Somebody say, my name's in the book, right? To God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. Somebody say, new covenant, right? And to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things. Somebody say, better things than that of Abel. So we're talking about blood that speaks. Did you know blood speaks to God? Did you know the blood of every aborted baby cries out to God? Somebody say, that's heavy. Amen. That's why it's important to have our faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and believe him for this thing called change, the changing the hearts of people and turning their hearts to Jesus. Amen. But the blood of Abel, if you think about the very first murder ever committed, amen, the blood of Abel cried out guilty, right? Revenge. Cain slew Abel. Remember that in Genesis? But the blood of Jesus cries out mercy, forgiveness. Praise the Lord. That somebody say better things. Better things. Is anybody here believing for better things today, right? Better life, better health, better home. Praise God, I am. That's the God that we serve. And in the weeks to come, in the next few weeks to come, I've been listening to a series from Dr. Maureen Anderson from, I think it's Living Word Church in Arizona. And it's a series she's been doing on the blood of Jesus. You know, when you're teaching on something, it's good to hear other people teach on what you're teaching on, right? And I think it was Doris Jenny gave me a CD series. And one of the things, she says several things that just jump out at me. But one of the things she was talking about was how in the Old Testament, the priest would have to sprinkle the blood 7 times on the altar. The blood of a goat or of a calf or of a bull, you know, for the forgiveness of the people. And she said the word 7 is symbolic of this word completion. Somebody say completion. And it just refreshed in my spirit of where we're going with this message. Did you know that we can look at least 7 different places where Jesus shed his blood? 7 different places on his body where blood was shed. And what that symbolizes is something was completed on you or for you on your behalf. And oh man, that's where we're going in the next few weeks. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody say completion. What did Jesus say on the cross? It is finished. Praise God. And we're going to be looking at some of those things. Amen. But first, the Lord had me begin in the Old Testament with, you see in your notes there, Numbers 28, 29, Leviticus 23. The festivals and feasts of the Lord are God's calendar, and they all have to do with special offerings that were received and blood that was shed. And we're not here today to look at and examine the details of the feasts. We're not here to look at the details and examine those. And those great places you can do that. Amen. And they're enriching and informative, right? But the important thing to get is, where's Jesus in it? Jesus fulfilled or will fulfill everything in the Word of God. Amen. And we started last week with this thing called Sabbath. Somebody say Sabbath, right? And in Exodus 20, verses 9 and 10, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. And we talked about how each day is symbolic of 1,000 years in human history. How many days? 6 days. So how many years does that symbolize? 6,000 years. And you can look at history, and it's about 2,000 years from Adam to Noah. Who knows, something significant happened. If there's one of the top five people I want to shake hands with in heaven, Noah. Noah, thank you, sir, for doing what you did on behalf of humanity. How many know if Noah, where would we be today? Would we be today, right? Amen. So 2,000 years after that, let me just check my notes. Yeah, Abraham to Noah. Yeah, and then 2,000 years, Noah to Jesus. Amen? About 2,000 years. And then, of course, we're going to say, thank you, Jesus, for what you did for me on the cross, for breaking the power of sin off of humanity. What a glorious victory. Noah, God used Noah to deliver us then. He used Jesus to deliver us forever. He used Noah to deliver me for now, and Jesus to deliver me forever. Praise the Lord, right? And then 2,000 years after Jesus was born and did everything that he did, somebody say, here we are today. What year is it? 2019. Amen. 2, 4, 6. This is a math class today, right? So that 1,000th year, that 7,000th year, we are at the cusp of entering into this millennial reign of Christ. Somebody say, wow, right? So this every week reminds the whole world of this. Every week. Amen? 7 days, 7 days, 7 days, 7 days, sunrise, sunset, sunrise, sunset. Every week is a reminder. All of these holidays and feasts are reminders. Somebody say God's calendar. Amen? Of things that have happened or are going to happen. And we went through last week talking about Passover. Say Passover. And Jesus fulfilled Passover, didn't he? He is the Lamb of God. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God. You can go back online and listen to some of the details on that we went through last week. But somebody say, Jesus is my Passover lamb. He fulfilled the Passover. When he died, his blood was shed. And they talk about applying the blood over the doorposts of the house. How many know we need to apply the blood of Jesus over our families, over our nation, right? Our president, our church, the church across the world. Amen. Be applying the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And then it goes into and these things are chronologically in order of how they appear on the calendar. So somebody say, Jesus fulfilled the Passover. He paid the price of sin with his own blood. And then the Feast of Unleavened Bread, amen, leaven is symbolic of sin in the Bible. And Jesus came to remove the power of sin off the planet. Literally, Jesus became sin, so that you and me could become the righteousness of God. So when we think about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we're saying, thank you, Jesus, that when you died, the power of sin was once and for all crucified, nailed to that cross. The devil should remember the cross is symbol in the shape of a T, trap. He hung himself there. The devil should remember the cross in the shape of a T, it was a trick. Amen? Trap devil, right? Stupid devil hung himself on that cross, right? And Jesus took the power of sin and that unleavened bread, that Feast of Unleavened Bread reminds us to repent. Jesus died for my sins, so stop sinning and turn to Jesus, right? Amen. And then it goes into first fruits. Somebody say first fruits, which talks about Jesus being the firstborn of the dead, the firstborn of many brethren. Amen. He was the first one to rise again. And I was listening to myself preach over the last year when we went through the blood. And I said something I don't know that I'd ever said before. Didn't hear myself say it since. But this came out of my mouth. The Holy Ghost was teaching us. But I said this. Jesus' tomb is not the only tomb that is a borrowed tomb. Because guess what? All the tombs of believers are going to be vacated. They're only borrowed real estate. Oh, praise the Lord forevermore. Somebody say Jesus is the first fruits. This reminds us he rose again from the dead. Somebody say, check, this happened already. Jesus fulfilled this. Does anybody have on your iPhone the little green check mark? Check. Shelly says, did you pick up milk? Sometimes I'll just find the little check and just text her the check. Yes, I did. And so we can say, Jesus, did you pay the price of sin? Check. Can I repent and come and be cleansed of my... Check. Did you raise again from the dead? Check. Praise the Lord forever. And that's what these feasts remind us of. Amen? And then Feast of Weeks or Pentecost comes, which of course reminds us of who, not what, who. Who was poured out on Pentecost in Acts chapter 2? The Holy Spirit. Do you see the calendar? Do you see God's calendar? And I was hearing somebody else teach on this, that 50-day period is approximately the time of planting a seed to harvest. Amen. So the ultimate finished work of God was not just that Jesus would rise from the dead, but that the Holy Ghost gets poured out on this planet. Didn't John the Baptist say, I came to baptize you with water, but the one who comes after me will baptize you in who? The Holy Spirit and fire. Glory to God. Somebody just say, I receive the Holy Ghost today. Amen. So this is where we left off last week. And we left off, if you look at a calendar, you would leave off on that place that says, you are here, the church age. But guess what? It ain't over yet. Because you move forward and you look at this thing called, moving forward now, this thing called the Feast of Trumpets. Somebody say Feast of Trumpets. Now these are some things, the next three things we're going to look at have not happened yet. But as surely as every one of these other things has happened, there will be a check mark. Somebody say hallelujah. God hasn't forgotten. It's on the list. There's a date. There's a time. And it's going to happen. But this Feast of Trumpets in Numbers 29 verse 1 says this. In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. For you, it is a day of blowing the trumpets. Somebody say, blow the trumpet. And look at, in your notes there, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17 says this. See, the first one was the description a bit of the Feast of Trumpets. This one is the fulfillment. See, all these feasts are rehearsals or forecasts of something that will happen, is yet to happen in this case, right? 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17 says this, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. Somebody say caught up. That's where we get the word rapture. Catch away. Amen. Caught up together with them in the clouds. Oh, this is going to be a glorious day. A family. We're having a reunion today with a cousin from California. This is going to be the reunion of all reunions. You'll meet people in your family you didn't even know. And they've been watching you in the cloud of witnesses. Glory to God. But look, it says this. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Somebody say Feast of Trumpets. And if you go back to that, it says, you shall have a holy convocation. Don't you know, the day the rapture happens, that's going to be one holy convocation, a holy assembly, a holy gathering of all God's people coming home. Praise the Lord. Well, there'll still be some left on planet Earth that didn't make the first trip. Amen. So there's more coming. But this day, this right here, guys, settles the argument of any believer that ever could have a post-tribulation theory of Jesus' return. This, to me, clearly indicates the rapture comes first. Somebody say, the rapture is coming first before the biblical tribulation period. Because the next feast goes into that. You ready to look at that? Amen. The Day of Atonement. Somebody say, Day of Atonement. Leviticus 23, guys, is a great chapter to read on all of these things. It just lists them out so clearly, right? But it says this, Leviticus 23:27. Also, the 10th day of the 7th month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. This is the day, even today, the Jewish people will celebrate and they'll fast. Amen. And I've been at people's houses before doing a business service, the Day of Atonement, which is called Yom Kippur, right? And if you'll see it on the calendar, Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. And the one lady I was at, she was like, she's cooking and she's getting ready. And she's like, and I said, Shabbat Shalom. She's like, oh, you know that word? Yes, I do. She goes, oh, I have a Catholic friend who does too. And she goes, you know what? We don't even know why we do this. But we do. We just, we got to fast and prepare a meal for the evening. And, you know, she's just doing stuff, right? Well, this somber afflict your soul thing was about the lamb that was going to be sacrificed and pay the price of sin for the year and all these kind of things. A very somber and serious day. The Bible calls it the Day of the Lord. Okay? Well, look at Matthew 24:27-30. And many in the body of Christ have confused this with the return of Jesus for the church, but it isn't. It's different. Amen. We just read about that. Grave splitting open. Can you imagine somebody being at a cemetery and all of a sudden, I mean, talk about all the people are, you know, goofy about zombies and stuff. I mean, talk about here goes just like a rocket out of the tomb. Amen. In a morgue, right? Boom, gone, right? What a day. I mean, you know, people, somebody will get it on their iPhone. How do you explain this, right? All these tombs busting open, right? And then people vanish or begin to go and just go up into the sky. Nobody sees anybody up there. They just, everyone's, where'd they all go, right? Well, not this. This is different. This is unique. The first one, the rapture, that's where it says no man knows the day or the hour. Now, we'll know seasons. We'll know it's close. We'll know we can see wars. We see all these things happening in the world that show, and we see just on the calendar. It's somebody say, coming next, the rapture. But this, the Day of Atonement, you could set a watch to it. Exactly, somebody say exactly. Exactly 7 years from the time we're out of here, this happens. This happens. Amen. It says this, Matthew 24:27-30. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation. Somebody say immediately after the tribulation. So what is this talking? This doesn't sound like happy news, right? Well, it's because many of the nations of the world will be gathered at that moment to wipe Israel off the planet. Don't you know there's people right now that would love to wipe Israel and America off the planet, right? Well, the church is the restraining force and all that. So we got to be moved out of the way. Amen. So that's what this is talking about. They're all gathered together to wipe Israel off the map. They've got them cornered. And this happens, right? As lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west. We'll be partying in heaven and having a great time, and all of a sudden Jesus will get that look in his face. Boys, girls, saddle up. It's time to go get the rest of the family. It's time to go take back our planet. It's time to go save my people. Oh, isn't that glorious to think about, right? For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together immediately after the tribulation, exactly 7 years, right? Of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not have its light. The stars will fall from the heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. Can you imagine? Here comes Jesus and they mourn. See, not everyone is in love with Jesus. Amen, right? And they will see the Son of Man coming. See, the first time they don't see him. Where'd everybody go? This time, here he comes. As Charles Capps says, the first coming, he's in the air. Second coming, he on the ground. It's boots on the ground. You know what I'm saying? And they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Somebody say, that hasn't happened yet. But as surely as everything else we see on God's calendar, that day is coming. And you want to know how fast that war is going to be? What does it say? As lightning comes, over. Over. Hallelujah. Israel liberated. Amen. Well, guess what? There's one more feast. Feast of Tabernacles. Somebody say tabernacles, right? Deuteronomy 31:10 says this. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time, somebody say appointed time, right? This is big. With God, right? At the appointed time of release, at the Feast of Tabernacles. That phrase, at the end of every 7 years. At the end of the 7 years of tribulation, Day of Atonement, followed immediately by the Feast of Tabernacles. At the end of the 7 years, somebody say at the end of the 7 years, Day of Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, back to back. Amen. And Revelation 21, 2 through 4 says it like this. Then I, John, saw the holy city. Now you think about the word tabernacle. God's plan has always been to dwell with his people. Think about Adam, right? They walked together and they had fellowship, and that was broken by sin, right? His plan never changed. It was just delayed for a while, right? And Jesus restored us. And this day is going to be, somebody say, the completion. Remember that seven number? Completion. Hallelujah. Then I, John, saw the holy city, which, again, tabernacle means tent, to be with us. God's plan, somebody say this, God's plan has always been to be with me. And you're wired with the Holy Ghost. You can be here and simultaneously at this very moment seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Praise God, right? But this is going to be a next level here. Amen. I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. Now, when the Bible says pray for the peace of Jerusalem, I heard Billy Brim teach this. She said you're literally praying peace means oneness. She said, you're literally saying, God, bring the new Jerusalem down and make it one with the earthly Jerusalem. Amen. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and will be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Somebody say hallelujah. the new this city coming out of heaven at the end of this tribulation period, right? At the Day of Atonement happens, then this Feast of Tabernacles, this heavenly city, a UFO, some will say, right? Coming out of heaven and landing in Israel, right on top of Jerusalem. Somebody say the war is over, right? Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. That's what the blood says. This is all about the blood of Jesus that has made these things possible. When it says blood that speaks, amen, forgiven from sin, restored to God, and all these things are going to happen because the price has been paid once and for all. Praise the Lord. And Revelation 22:20 says this, "For he who testifies to these things says, surely," somebody say surely. As you know, Jesus is not a liar. If he says something's going to happen, it's going to happen, right? "Surely I am coming quickly." Somebody say quickly, right? Amen. "Even so, come Lord Jesus." So, this witness stand, blood that speaks, this witness stand, what does the blood tell me? First and foremost, today as we start this season of celebrating everything Jesus has accomplished for me, first and foremost, it reminds me of this. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. Get ready. Somebody say, stay ready. Stay ready. Be prayed up. Be in the Word. Be in church. Amen. Be looking for opportunities to share your faith, because he, as surely as he said he's coming, he's coming quickly, quickly. That's what the blood says. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand on our feet and we'll close in prayer today and just rejoice. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and thank the Lord. Oh God, we thank you so much for showing us marvelous things in your word, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that your word is not a complex, complicated thing to understand. By the Holy Ghost, you show us and you lead us and you guide us. And we thank you, Lord, for the power of your resurrection. We thank you, Jesus, that you're coming soon. Hallelujah. And Father, I know everyone in this room is born again, but maybe somebody who's listening right now online or by CD is not. Just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost over people who need to get saved. Just say, Father, in Jesus' name, we release the salvation of God over our loved ones, our family, in Jesus' name. And anyone who is listening to this message, and you want to be ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to go, I don't know about you, but I want to be on the first plane out of here. Just say this. Just say, Father God, I receive the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross. I confess my sins before you. I receive my cleansing of them. And I give you my life, Father God. Whole life. I receive everything that Jesus accomplished for me. Thank you that I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. My name is registered in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name. Oh, we thank you, Lord, today. We thank you for it all. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You are dismissed. Time to fellowship. Amen.